So we've been looking at this year renewal. We talked last week about even a piece of furniture. If you go into an antique shop and see this piece of furniture that's thousands of dollars, that was all broken up, but somebody took loving care, restored it, made it valuable. God is making us valuable every day. So as we renew ourselves, it struck me that we also need to renew our course. As we look at 2024, what is our path? What is our course? What is our plan? What is our purpose? There's a lot of questions here. But as we begin this new year, what is God going to do with you? What is God going to do with me? How do we discover that? How do we have that assurance? We've been talking in our prayers about this assurance everyone has been getting as far as when they lost someone. Like Alan is on a new path, and Brad is on a different path, and Charlotte is going to be on a little bit different path now. What is the path that God has for me? What is the path that God has for you? Have you been asking yourself that question this year yet? If not, I would implore you to start asking. Start praying. Start looking. Seeing what God is doing. And as he just already, even before the message began, he gave us this revelation that the path is a person. So we don't even have to figure it all out. How cool is that? All we have to do is latch into Jesus and our path will become clear. Because he is our path. All we have to do is lean. Remember we talked about leaning not on our understanding, but leaning on God's. All we have to do is lean on the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will show us exactly what to do. All we have to do is trust God. That's what we talked about last week. All we have to do is trust God, and God will guide us through. Isn't that cool? Because that takes away all the anxiety, all the worry, all the wondering whether or not we're going the right way. So today I want to talk about how do we renew our course. And I'm going to go back into Proverbs again, because Proverbs is just pure wisdom. We talked about it last week that Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave him wisdom. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and he realized that without God, everything is futile. It's like chasing after the wind. But when you inject God back into the equation, everything, every decision, every move we make has purpose, has meaning. Everything we do. So like in my own life, when I'm struggling, I come back to this. That God wants me to be helpful. He wants me to be helpful with somebody. And that really helps me to understand my direction. So how can I be helpful today is what my question is. How can you be helpful today? Because God wants us to help somebody else. And the main thing, the number one thing he wants us to do to help with is to help introduce somebody to the path, to the way, to Jesus. So as we open up, Proverbs 16, 1 through 9. This is odd the way it's worded. To humans, isn't that odd? To humans belong the plans of the heart. But from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. Now with Proverbs, you gotta think about it. You gotta give it some thought. You gotta dissect it a little and try to understand what is Solomon telling us. To humans belong the plans of the heart. What are the plans of the heart? The heart is all about our desires. All what we want. All what we think we need. All what we hope to do. We have all these plans. You know, I wish that when I was a child, I would have understood more about leaning on the Lord and about checking with Him on everything. You know, I know somebody who, when they were getting engaged, they were ready to be married, and they had this young man who loved them. They knew that. And they had this whole life planned out with him, that they said that they would not marry him unless they got confirmation from the Lord. They went to prayer about this young man. His name was Christian, and they said, I can't marry you, Christian, unless God tells me I'm supposed to marry you. Who does that? Isn't that cool? They got married, and they have many children now, and they're doing extremely well, but that is a marriage, like I was talking about, that has that third cord of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit, of our Father God right there, cementing them. And not only every decision they make in the marriage, but the decision of whether or not to get married. I wish I knew that when I was a child, that I cross-checked with God every decision I ever made. Have you done that? I see a lot of heads shaking no. I have to join you. I wish I had. I think I would have saved myself a lot of toil and trouble. I'm sure I would have saved myself a lot of toil and trouble with my background, that if I would have checked with God, like, hey, God, was it a good idea to get in that car when I was drinking? God would have said right away, no, not a good idea, Tom. Hey, God, was it a good idea when I hung out with these? No, those people are not good to hang out with. Don't go with them. But you know, the beauty of this thing is it's not too late. I can get this wisdom now, and I can live my life forward this way. To humans belong the plans of the heart. And when we're young, our heart is in charge, in control. Whatever our desire is, we do. And hopefully as we age a little bit, we get a little more wisdom, a little more self-control, a little more restraint, a little more patience of waiting for something. I remember, like, Mary and I, we used to have an envelope. And whenever we wanted something, I would have my telescope envelope. And so I would put my $10 in there, or whatever it was, in my telescope envelope, and I would save it up for years, and it would finally accumulate to quite a bit that I could go buy whatever gear or whatever equipment, and we did that for years and years and years. I was patiently waiting. There was none of this credit card thing where you just put a credit card in and get yourself in a whole lot of debt and a whole lot of trouble. But to humans belong the plans of the heart. So the plans of the heart is pull out that credit card and get whatever I want right now, this very second. But from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. The proper answer is wait. Put the money in the envelope. The proper answer is don't hang out with those people. They are bad news. They're going to get you in trouble. The proper answer is throw away those car keys. Do not get behind that wheel if you're not doing well. The proper answer. I need the proper answer in my life, don't you? I don't want to just go with whatever my desires are. They're going to lead me down the wrong way. Continuing. This is why Proverbs is so brilliant, so much wisdom. All a person's ways seem pure to them, don't they? The way I'm thinking is absolutely correct. I was just talking with somebody this week, and he was telling me about kind of how we get set in our ways. No, not us, right? How we get kind of headstrong. how we think that we're right and everyone else is wrong. Anybody else here with me on this? And, you know, I actually have learned something as I'm counseling these couples coming up, that, you know, as you're having an argument or you're having a discussion, that you need to stop down and, hey, just maybe that other person might be able to teach you something, give you a perspective that you don't already have. But see, all a person's ways seem pure to them. Our instinct is like, well, I've got this figured out. If you just listen to me, I'll help you figure it out too. Instead of like, well, they might be able to add something to this discussion. They may have a good idea that I haven't come up with. I love getting together, like we just got together with all the men, and we're trying to put our heads together about how can we touch this community of multiple churches together. See, what was beautiful about that is nobody was taking and saying, well, this is the way we're going to do it, and you just follow. Everyone was just brainstorming. No one thought that there were the most pure ideas, because all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Motives. I always talk about motives. It's what people intend that's important. If they make a mistake and they hurt me accidentally, that's one thing. But if they maliciously, on purpose, set out to harm me, that's quite another. The motivation of the heart means everything. And the motivation of the heart means everything to the Lord. So the Lord is weighing all the circumstances. He's weighing all of it by a scale of motivation. Why were you doing that? What was your motive? What was your intent? Continuing. Commit. You know, as I talk about these couples getting married, they're going to commit. They're going to commit to each other for the rest of their lives. That's a commitment. And actually, I think it's more of a covenant. It's an agreement. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. That's that person I was talking about that got married to Christian. She was committing everything to the Lord. What do you say, God? What do you say about this? And I've been doing that lately in prayer. What do you say about my ministry, Lord? What do you want me to do? Dear Holy Spirit, how about you talk and I'll be quiet? Dear Father God, what is it that you're trying to do in my life and in my relationships? I'll tell you, when you stop down for just a minute and you ask God what he thinks about it, you get a whole different perspective. That heart, those desires get put at bay. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. It's almost like God's writing down a little blueprint for me and saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. This is going to come along. And then when situations happen, he says, okay, and this is how you're going to handle that. If I commit to him in the first place, if I ask him in the first place, he will establish my way. Continuing. The Lord works out everything to its proper end. Even the wicked for a day of disaster. Just deserts is what came to my heart. Vengeance is mine is the Lord. Just deserts. You reap what you sow, right? I mean, the Lord is going to work it out. In all these situations we just got done talking about in prayer, the Lord worked it all out. Praise be to God. To its proper end, to where it should go, to where it could go. We could save ourselves so much hassle, so much toil and trouble if we just checked with God first. Continuing. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this. They will not go unpunished. And when I think of that, what is the punishment of pride? You fall. Pride goes before the fall every time. Pride is what started this whole mess in the first place when Lucifer wanted to be God. Pride gets in your way every time. Pride blows up your head so you can't fit through the door. Pride makes it where you don't want to hear what anyone else has to say. Pride makes it where you have to be number one. Everyone has to listen to you, but you're really just empty. You know, we have an epidemic of empty going on. We have an epidemic of isolation going on. We are in a period like we've never been before, where people are so isolated. I mean, they'll do DoorDash to get food, and they'll sit there and get on the internet to get advice from some stranger they don't even know. The kids are so isolated, they can't even hold a conversation with each other, and they're afraid of everything. And then the media is all distorted and giving us false information, and paranoia is running rampant, and I mean, the Lord detests, that's a strong word, he detests, he hates, he can't stand the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. And I'm telling you, the punishment is ourselves. The punishment is how we view ourselves. The punishment is the isolation that we bring on to ourselves. I'll tell you, when I was with that group of men yesterday, and we were in that cafeteria-type room at another church, and we're all sitting around tables, and we're brainstorming about how we could be helpful, we had anything but isolation. We had face-to-face contact. We were talking with each other. We were planning together. Nobody was saying, thinking that they got the best plan or the best way. We were working together, and we were doing it in the midst of prayer. And asking God, what should we do? That was the Lord leading and us committing. Continuing. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. Again, if I just could have gotten some of this wisdom when I was younger. If I could have just atoned for some of the things earlier. If I would have just been more faithful to the Lord in my life, I could have avoided a lot of problems. And if I had a fear of God when I was really young, I wouldn't have done so many stupid things. And so today is the first day of the rest of my life. It's the first day of the rest of your life. Through love and faithfulness, loving God, loving others, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Through love and faithfulness that God comes first, what he says, I will ask him what he says, that all my sins are atoned for, that Jesus has already atoned for all of my sins, past, present, and future, and through the fear of the Lord, and let me tell you, God is a mighty God. He is all powerful. He has created everything in heaven and earth. He could change things with a snap of his fingers. He can cure me of cancer in a heartbeat. And the beauty of it is, like I said last week, is that, this thing died. Like I said last week, the beauty of it is that God is all powerful. He just brought the mic back. But he has me in the palm of his hand, and he has promised not to harm a hair on my head. Think about that. The one who is all powerful
has you in the palm of his hand, but he won't harm or let anyone else harm a hair on your head. That's a great position to be in. Continuing. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. Pleasure. To please the Lord. That should be our ultimate goal with everything we say, everything we do. Does it please you, Lord? That young woman I talked about when she's getting married, does it please you for me to marry Christian? And if God would have told her, it doesn't please me, this is not my path, this is not my plan for you, she would not have married him. That is faithfulness. And all of our enemies, all of our problems, all of our situations go to the side. As long as we please God, Debbie, as we were talking about Debbie in prayer, I'll never forget what Debbie told me. The only thing she wants to do is please God. In everything she does, all she cares about is, am I pleasing God? That is a beautiful way to live. I want that. Continuing. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. So, better to have a little bit of the right thing than having a whole bunch of the wrong thing. And I can tell you, as I was growing up, a whole bunch of the wrong thing. And it's better to just have a little bit of Jesus than everything the world has to offer. A little bit of Jesus is like that yeast that rises and engulfs all of us. The Holy Spirit that engulfs us. Just a little touch of Jesus gives us all of the Holy Spirit. Continuing. In their hearts, in my heart, in your heart, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. We may make all the plans in the world. We may be brilliant, but we still may come to nothing. Because our plans are going to be futile. They're going to be like chasing after the wind. No matter, even if we accomplish them, it's not going to mean as much. Have you ever done that? Have you ever worked on something and then you finally get it done and you finally accomplish it and it's like, okay, what's next? Moving on. It's done. I fall into it. It's done. What's next? And we always fall. And have you ever wanted something really bad? Like, you see this car, you want it really bad, or you see this relationship, you want it really bad, or you see this job, you want it really bad, and then you get it. Especially with the job, and then you get it. And all of a sudden you find out the grass is not that green on the other side of the fence, and you got all these other problems and all these headaches. I remember I went to Kensington once, and I met this guy who did video for Kensington. And actually, it was Dan Mountney, who used to work at Channel 4, making a six-figure salary, who took a pay cut in half to go there. And I'm working at TV 20 at the time, and I come over and I'm working with Dan for a while, and I'm thinking, man, you got the job. You're working for this big church, and you get a salary, and you get to do video for the Lord. Man, this is just wonderful. I want your job. You know what he said to me?
No, you don't.
No, you don't. He said, Tom, you got to be kidding. They're just people. I'm still dealing with people. It's no different than when I worked at the news. And you can imagine working at the news, the high pressure and the people and all the situations. He says, it's no different here at Kensington. I still got to deal with people and politics and red tape and trying to get things done. It's not always that much greener, but he also, I will tell you, the difference for Dan, and I'll speak for Dan, is here at Channel 4. He got a lot done. He did a great job. He was a great news anchor. But here at Kensington, he got to work for the Lord. He got to do videos that would change people's hearts. He got to help people find Jesus, to find the path. The Lord establishes our steps. Our step is Jesus. So what do we do with all this? Commit, submit. Repeat with me. Commit, submit. Commit, submit. We commit everything to the Lord. We ask Him about everything, every decision, everything we're going to do. And it's not as hard as it sounds. It's actually easy. It's just a practice. And then we submit. We learned last week that the key to renewal is submission. It's the exact opposite of the world. When we submit to the Lord, when we submit to Jesus and His leading, everything works out. It doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. You're still going to deal with diseases and people. It's just like Dan over at Kensington. You're still going to have problems. The difference is you have a purpose. You have a path. You have somebody standing alongside you. We commit to the Lord and we submit to whatever He tells us to do. Let us pray. Dear Father God, You have our attention. Dear Father God, we want to just commit to You everything. Everything in our heart, all of our desires, we commit to You. We submit all of them to You. We ask for Your path, which is Your Son. We just ask for a connection point stronger than ever to know what to do, how to do it. And when we don't, that we will ask what You'd have us ask. That we do what You'd have us do. That we would be who You would have us be. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. And all the church said, Amen. Every breath I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have Your way in me. Can we live this? I'm seeing heads nodding yes. We most certainly can. I'm seeing more heads nodding yes. That is our prayer today. Have Your way in me. Have Your way in me and work out my stuff. Have Your way in me. Work out my situations. Have Your way in me. Work out my relationships.
Have your way in me and use me to help someone else. And the number one thing we can do to help someone else is to find the way, the truth, the life. Jesus, let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for the way. We thank you for the truth, the only truth there is. We thank you for our life, the life. We thank you, dear Father God, for your Son, our Lord Jesus, who created all things, where everything finds its purpose. We thank you that he not only created all things, but he shows us the way back to all things. All the desires of our heart that need to be fulfilled. All the ways that we can help someone else that we're really wanting to do. And all the ways that we can connect to you. We thank you. We give you all the praise, dear Father God, for your Son, our path, our person, our way. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord. Go share the way. God bless you.